Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey North Point, I'm Alex, and I want to continue our series, Jesus. This series is not about who He is or what He did, but how He lived. And has something to say about how we live today as followers of Him. We experience salvation through the finished work of Jesus. There's no doubt about that. That what Jesus did on the cross, it saves us. It truly changes our lives. But we experience life transformation through the continued work of Jesus in us. Jesus doesn't stop working in our lives after salvation. The work just begins. The moment we receive Jesus, we accept His work on the cross on our behalf. The moment it incites a journey with Him where He's transforming us and transforming us into what, you may ask? What we see in Jesus should become seen in us. Our lives are to look like His life. That is the work that He's doing in us. He's transforming us into His image. But what exactly does that look like? Well, a guy named Paul answers this. In Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." This is what we see in Jesus, and this is what should be seen in us. This is the fruit, the result, the marks of someone who is being transformed by Jesus into His image. This is what Jesus looks like. He is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you were hanging out with Jesus, this is what you would say about Him. Man, He's so loving. He's so patient. He's so gentle. And man, He's so self-controlled. Like, wow. And that's what should be said about us. When people get around us, they should say, man, that's what you're like. It's the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It's the fruit and the result of God's work in our lives. And so throughout this series, we have looked at these fruit and how they've been lived out in the life of Jesus and how we can live them out. Last week, we looked at faithfulness, but this week, we're looking at gentleness. Now, can we be honest? When I say gentleness or meekness, it doesn't sound all that great. We get love, right? We understand the need for patience and self-control, but how is being meek or gentle a good thing? Our culture, it's all about being self-assertive, getting what's yours, not getting walked on. So why would God want you and I to be gentle or meek people? Come on. But you see, this is where we get gentleness all wrong. Gentleness, I even had the wrong idea about it. Gentleness is all about how we handle being wronged. What do we do when others wrong us? What do we do when our boss talks down to us or we don't get that promotion that was promised to us or that cop took things a little too far? What about when our spouse makes that comment that just cuts a little too deep? What about when our money gets stolen or our kid, you know, they spend way too much on that credit card? What do we do when we get rear-ended in a car wreck and they just drive away? Come on, sometimes we feel even God wrongs us. Why God allows certain things to happen. We feel God is bullying us. We feel wronged and injured. See, how you respond to that, that's gentleness or not. You see, we trust God with some areas of our lives, but the area that I found that we most struggle in is in the area of when we're wronged, insulted, or injured. We just don't know how to respond. We don't. We either become violent or we become silent. We get violent, we retaliate, we revenge, we're truth without love. Come on, we've all heard somebody say that before, you know, I'm just telling them the truth, but really it's a revenge statement, right? You just wanna get back at them. We curse them back, we hit them back, we avoid them like they avoid us. We get violent. Or we get silent, we get too passive, self-blame, self-martyr. Right? We're love with no truth. We try to keep the peace by just taking it all on ourselves. We tell ourselves we deserve it, or we just fear them, or we flee from that which hurts us. We don't ever confront it. Again, we're love without truth. That's typically where we find ourselves. We either get violent or silent. Which one do you tend to lean towards? Which one do you tend to adopt? When you're insulted, do you get violent or do you get silent? When someone wrongs you, do you get revenge or do you run away and flee? How do you respond? See, thankfully, the Bible has something to say about how we respond to being wronged. And we can see it in the life of Jesus, what God desires for us to become, gentle and meek. Go with me to the night that Jesus was betrayed. In Matthew 26, verses 47 through 56, it says, "And even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests and elders of the people. The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. 'You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss.' So Judas came straight to Jesus. 'Greetings, Rabbi,' he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Jesus said, 'My friend, go ahead and do what you have come for.' Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. But one of the men with Jesus, Peter, pulls out a sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. 'Put away your sword,' Jesus told him. 'Those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us and he'll send them instantly? But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now?' Then Jesus said to the crowd, 'Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with me with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day.' But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in the scriptures. At that point, all the disciples deserted him and fled." Jesus suffered insult, injury, and injustice. You know, it was against the law to hold a trial at night, but that's the very thing that was happening. Jesus was being captured to be held at trial at night. The elders and the leading priests were abusing their power. It was an injustice. Politically, Jesus was insulted. He was betrayed by one of his own. Judas kissed Jesus, but he didn't just kiss him with a normal kiss. You know, in the Middle Eastern men back then, it was a normal greeting. They would kiss. But this was the kind of kiss that was between two intimate friends. Judas betrayed him with a kiss. The kiss. Not only that, Jesus was injured. He suffered violence. They seized him and bound him up like a violent criminal by a crowd armed with clubs and swords. These people came ready for violence. These people believed that Jesus was in the wrong and that they were wrong. And look how they respond with violence. Who knew? And Jesus also suffered abandonment, which is a form of betrayal. His close followers deserted him and fled when he needed him the most. Have you ever suffered one of these? Have you ever been treated unjustly? Have you ever been lied to? Have you ever been betrayed, abused, or abandoned? Have you ever been deserted? Have you ever had an authority abuse their power or suffered violence from others? I know that I have. The truth is, all of us have. And all of us at the same time have not responded the way that we should have. You see, Jesus sets the mark. He sets the example. He is the standard. Jesus is the gentle one. He's the meek one. Jesus didn't choose violence. This is why he said that comment. I could have 12 legions of angels. You know, one legion is 6,000. So he could have had 72,000 angels at his disposal to call on. You know, we forget that Jesus is God. He's not just fully man, but he's fully God. He's powerful. And this is why I would say Jesus was the gentle one, but he wasn't weak. Meekness is not weakness. It's the right blend between force and reserve. It's about living for God's timing and not our own. It acknowledges God's work and not just our own and what our enemies have done to us. You see, we're more like Peter. We're less like Jesus and more like Peter. We get violent. We take matters into our own hands. We insult those who insult us. We talk about those who talk about us. We punch back when we're punched. You see, we're really like Peter. You know, Peter, before Jesus was betrayed, they were having a prayer meeting throughout the night. What is Peter doing with a sword? That's what I want to know. He brought a sword to a prayer meeting. And we do the same thing. We go to family dinners with a chip on our shoulder, ready to defend ourselves. We walk into places looking for people to insult us, to injure us, because that's what we've been taught. That's all we know what to do. It's to revenge, violence, get back. You get at me, I'm going to get you before you get me. It's violence. But no wonder Jesus shut it down, because violence begets violence. Violence just leads to more violence. Jesus stopped the violence that after Peter slashed off that guy's ear. Because you know what? That army of people with clubs and swords would have probably slaughtered all of his friends, all the disciples at the time. Those who live by the sword die by the sword. Violence begets violence. But what we see is that Jesus, though he wasn't violent, he wasn't silent. He confronted the injustice. He pointed out that they could have arrested him in public. And he asked that. I was teaching every day. You could have arrested me. He called out the truth. He wasn't violent, but he also wasn't silent. He's the same Jesus who out of the sign of injustice in the temple would go around flipping tables one day. Jesus was meek and gentle, but he was bold to confront with truth. Gentleness isn't about getting back, but getting right. It isn't about revenge. It's about getting right. That's why it's neither silent or violent. Violence not with revenge, and it's not silent out of cowardness, but it's about getting right. But because all we know is violence or revenge, I think we feel like our only option is silence, fleeing, avoiding, just never going on that side. You know, like the disciples, we run and flee. You know, some of us, we tell ourselves we deserve it. Some of us will compromise truth for the sake of a false peace. You ever heard somebody say, we're just going to keep the peace? I'm talking about those people. You know what I mean? Those people who say, I will act like the martyr. I'll act like this is my fault. I'll act like I deserve that insult. I deserve that injury because I don't want to go to the other end of the spectrum and lead into violence. So what is the right response? What is the blend between reserve and force? How can we walk in gentleness? Well, the same violent Peter who brought a sword to a prayer meeting says this. And I believe that when Peter penned this, I believe he had a revelation of Jesus in the same way that we're leaning in today. He said this in 1 Peter 21 through 23. This is what you were called to do. Christ suffered for you. He gave you an example to follow. So you should do as he did. And this is what he did. Verse 22, he did no sin. He never lied. People insulted Christ, but he did not insult them in return. Peter was an eyewitness of this. Peter was there on the night that Jesus was betrayed. Peter's the one who acted in violence and got rebuked. He didn't know a better way. And yet here is Jesus modeling with an example of how to live, to be. Peter saw firsthand the gentleness of Jesus, the meekness of Jesus. Verse 23, people insulted Christ, but he did not insult them in return. Christ suffered, but he did not threaten. He let God take care of him. Let me read that one more time. He let God take care of him. God is the one who judges rightly. Gentleness is contentment with letting God set things right. Meekness or gentleness is not an action. It's a heart condition. It's a heart condition that is so convinced of how strong God is. It respects that God is at work. It's not caught up. A person who is gentle has a heart that's not so caught up in how weak their enemy is or how strong they are, what they did. A gentle person is more convinced and more caught up in the work of God in their life and in the lives of others, even their enemies. That's why I say gentleness is not about getting back. It's about getting right. You know, sometimes it takes you and I getting our hand off the wheel for things to get right. You know, sometimes we don't fix things the way we should. Sometimes we just got to let God do his work. Gentle people allow God to be God and not get in his way. Gentle people are considerate of God who's at work in people's lives, even their enemies' lives. You know, it's no wonder that Jesus teaches that it's the meek or the gentle who inherit the earth. It's the ones who are convinced. It's the ones who are considerate of God who is at work, that they will receive what God is doing. They don't kick against the prick. It isn't about our own effort. It's about Him that makes things happen. And that's what a person with a gentle heart does. They're considerate and content with just letting God set things right. You know, it's no wonder that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he pointed out being content with letting God set things right in the night of His betrayal. He trusted God's plan and power. And that's what gentleness is rooted in. It's rooted in these two truths. God is just and God is judge. God is good and God is powerful. He's judge. He has the right to do that. He's fully able and willing to work good in our lives. God wants and desires goodness for us, and He's able to do it. You know, we're able to respond to insult and injury and injustice just the way Jesus did, because we're convinced of these two truths, that God is powerful, He's judge, and He's the only one who has the right to judge, to condemn, to execute judgment. He's the only judge, and we believe He's good. He's just. Yes, He makes all things good, all things right. This is why we believe that God's goodness will always overcome man's badness. We're convinced of that. A person with a gentle heart, a person who walks in the gentleness that Jesus gives, you're able to handle wrongs the way Jesus did, because you're convinced that God's goodness will always overcome man's badness. It's because of these two truths that the gentle person is not so occupied with their self. God's got it. He's good. And so, yeah, it didn't work out. And yeah, they said that or they did that. But I believe God is at work in my life and in theirs, working everything out for our good. He makes all things right. He's just and He's judge. You know, I believe that how we respond to when we're insulted or injured by others, it says a lot about what we think about God. Injustices, insults, injuries, all they are just showcases for who we think God, who we think is really in power, who we think is really in control. When you're wronged, when you're insulted, when you're offended, when people don't do right by you, how you respond in that moment, either getting violent or silent, it showcases who you believe is really in control. Let me submit to you this. When people wrong us and insult us, and we're offended by that, you know what it does when we respond in violence or silence? We're responding as though God is dead. But a gentle person is considerate and content with letting God set things right. A gentle person is someone who acknowledges that God is in the room. Even in the room when bad things happen, we believe God is in the room. And God was in the car when they did that thing. God was in the room when they did that thing. When that person wronged you, God was in the room. And when you believe God is not in the room and He's not just and He's not a good judge and He doesn't have the power and He's not at work, then you're going to respond in either violence or silence. But it's when you're convinced that God is just and judge. It's when you believe He's the one who's in control. He's the one who has all the power. You can respond as Jesus did, not silent, not violent. You can trust that God is at work. You see, some people will injure you or insult you as a way of controlling you. They expect you to do that. They expect you to either get violent or silent. That's how people will often throw insults and try to get back at you and curse and shoot the finger or say what they say, even in marriages. This is why we throw the daggers that we throw and we say the things that we say. It's because we want to incite a response out of them. Come on, get violent back. Or yeah, get silent. Go to your room and be quiet. This is our way of controlling. It's others' way of controlling us. But Jesus calls us to respond not in silence or violence, because we know who is really in control, the just judge. You know, I was working at a church a few years back, and I was a leader there. And one of the people I was leading, they didn't like me very much. And I found out later on that they would talk about me behind my back, and they would insult me. They would say things. It would injure my reputation. And when I found out, I went to God with it. And I was so hurt. I was betrayed. I thought they were my friend. And you know what I did? I committed to acknowledging God is at work in their life and mine. And I prayed for that person often. I prayed for that person almost as much as I prayed for my own family. I prayed for my enemy. I prayed for the one who wronged me. I acknowledge that God's goodness can overcome man's badness. And I don't know how, but I know this, that if I would have responded in violence, if I would have insulted him or her back, if I would have injured him or her back, I would have thwarted the work of God, what he wanted to do. And so what I did is I responded in gentleness. I prayed for that person. I offered to mow their grass. I offered to bless them. And it took a few years. But do you know that one day, this individual came up to me and asked to talk to me in private. And I thought, okay, we're about to get violent, okay? I don't know, what do they want to do? But with tears in their eyes, they repented of everything they ever said about me behind my back. They repented of inciting division in the church and around us. And do you know that to this day, that person is still my friend? I just recently talked to him. That person's still my friend. And that's what it does. When you let God at work, God is able, not you and I, but God is able to take foes and turn them into friends. Truly. What I thought was my enemy, what I thought was the very thing that was insulting me and hurting me, was the very thing God turned to be a friend of mine today. Being a gentle person is powerful. It's not weakness. It's powerful. And just like Jesus, it respects and considers that God is at work in my life and in other people's lives. It says this, that God, I believe you're so good, you'll overcome the badness of men. It says that God, you're just and you're judge. And I know you're working in this person's life and you're working in my own. Be with them. Help me to respond in a way that your will is done. And that's the kind of people that we have to be. That's the kind of people that Jesus transforms us to be, a gentle person. It's not silence. It's not violence. But it allows God to be at work. And my friend, when God is at work, who can stop his plans? Who can stop his work? Who can stop what God wants to do? No one can. He can transform lives. But when we get silent and we get violent and we get in the way and we're not considerate of God's work in people's lives, we get in the way of that. We stop it. We slow it down. The world is watching you and I. If you're a believer, the world is watching how we respond to insult and injury. They're watching. And some people, even believers, they just don't know how to respond. But for those of us who are willing to walk in the gentleness that Christ transforms us into, it prepares us, it sets us up for God's work. And when God works, it changes people's lives. In 1 Peter 2, verse 24, it says this of Jesus: Christ carried our sins in his body on the cross. He did this so that we would stop living for sin and start living for what is right. And we are healed because of his wounds. Jesus is more than our example. He's our Savior. Jesus became a prisoner so that we may be free. He was wounded so that we may be healed. He died so that we may live. He is at work within us, transforming us into a gentle person, a person that can fully trust that God is just and he's judge, even in that test of injury, that test of insult. Even in those moments, Jesus is working that within us. We can live in the power of gentleness. Jesus is working to posture our hearts in such a way where we're considerate of the work of God in other people's lives and our own, and we'll be able to see miracles because of it. We don't have to be caught between violence and revenge and silence and fleeing, but we can stand both in full of grace and truth and love This is part of it. Love can have its way. Love can truly be love when it can cover a multitude of offenses, a multitude of sins. But hatred stirs up offense. But what does love do? It covers. That takes a gentle person to do that. It takes a person who's totally content with letting God set things right, to be freed up to forgive and to pray for that person and to bless that person. That's a gentle person. In 2021, we're in a year of application. We want to be intentional about leading ourselves and applying these truths. So we have this acronym, LEAD, that stands for learn, evaluate, apply, and then do it again. So what have we learned? Gentleness is contentment with letting God set things right. And this is what Jesus is working in you and I's life, that we would be the kind of people who would be so satisfied, so content in the midst of people cursing us and talking about us and injuring us and moving against us and resisting us, that we'd be so content and trust that God is at work, so aware of God's work in our lives and the lives of others, that we wouldn't react in violence and we wouldn't retreat in silence, but we would remain. Just as Jesus remained, we remain. And we show the world and put on display the ways of God. And we don't let violence and manipulation control us in that way. But we show who's really in control. God Almighty, the just judge, the one who's all good and all powerful. I want you to ask yourself something. Do you trust that God's goodness will overcome man's badness? Do you really trust that? You know, for us to really believe in the work of Jesus, for us to really believe that what Jesus did on the cross for us is real, then we have to believe this. Because the truth is this, that you and I, our badness was overcome by God's goodness. My sin, my mistakes, my waywardness, my addiction to me going my own way, it was overcome by the love and the kindness of God. God's goodness overcame my badness. And when you realize that, when you really are aware of God's work in your own life, how His goodness has overcome your badness and it's continuing to do so by the work of Jesus in you, you are freed up to be the kind of person who is considerate of the work of God in other people's lives. A gentle person, a meek person who's content with letting God set things right, because God set things right in your own life, in my own life. And now I don't have to see people as the walking insult or the person who's going to wrong me. I don't have to walk with a chip in my shoulder. I don't have to carry around a sword ready to, no. Because I am fully aware and content that God is at work. He's both just and judge. And I know what He's able to do in my life, and I know what He's able to do in everybody's life. His goodness always overcomes man's badness. Do you trust that? Do you trust that when you're insulted, when you're offended, and when you're hurt in those moments? Because it's hard. It is. But let me give you something that you can apply to your life that will strengthen that, that will help you turn and see your foes turn to friends in those moments. Because as I shared earlier, I wanted so bad to respond in violence and silence in those moments. But I didn't retreat. I smiled. I blessed. I complimented. I championed. I celebrated. I cheered enthusiastically for the very one who insulted me. That's truth, that's love, that's grace. And God was able to do a work. But you know, that didn't come. That wasn't the first thing I did. The first thing I did is what I'm going to ask you to do. When you're insulted, talk it out with God first. You have to. You and I, in the moment of offense, we want, it's a knee-jerk reaction, it's human nature. We want to respond in violence or silence. But if we'll pause, a holy pause, and we'll go to God and we'll talk things out with Him first, we will remind ourselves of the work that He did within me. We'll humble ourselves before God. It's hard to stand haughty in pride before God. It's hard to be puffed up with offense and what they did to you when you stand before God. You come clean before Him. You humble yourself before Him. That's what I say, when you're insulted, go to God first, lest you get puffed up and you want to respond as they did, lest you forget who's really in control. When you're insulted, when you're wrong, when you're injured, don't respond like that. Turn away, find a moment, and go to God. There'll be moments when I find out what this person would say about me that I respond by just going straight to God. God, that hurts. Talk to God about that. God, that hurts when they said that about me. God, that's wrong. That I would never do that. But how did you respond to my life? You showed me kindness. You showed me love. You showed me forgiveness. And I'm going to give that person that same respect. And I trust that you're going to set things right. I trust that your ways are greater than my way of doing things. And I trust that that's what's going to set things right. God, I don't want to get back. I want to get right. And that's the spirit. That's the heart of someone who is gentle. But it starts that when you're offended, when you're insulted, talk it out with God first. And in that moment, when you realize again who's in control, you're able to respond the way God has called you to respond, in gentleness, not in violence, not in silence, because you're convinced that God is both just and He's judge. He's good and He's powerful, and His goodness will always overcome men's badness. And then what do? You do it again. When someone insults you again, when someone wrongs you again, what do? You talk it out with God first. When that person cuts you off in traffic, what do? You talk it out with God first. You just do it again, do it again, do it again. And when we do this, when we trust God in this area, when we respond to insult and injury like this, we will look like Jesus. We will grow in spiritual maturity, and this pleases God. That is the heart of the Father. That is what the Father wants, is He wants you and I to look like Jesus. But also, this honors God by allowing Him to be judge. This honors God. And that's what Jesus did in the garden, not taking things in his own way, by His own hand. He could have called angels down to defend Himself. He could have. But He honored the Father by doing His will, as the Scriptures prophesied, as the Scriptures foretold. And we do the same thing. We allow God to be judge and not ourselves. And we say, You're in control, not me. And you forgave me, so I want to forgive them. We honor God. That's what you're doing. You're honoring God. And then lastly, when we respond like this, as Jesus did, when we walk with a gentle heart, a gentle condition, we serve as His witnesses. Others are watching how you and I respond to insult and injury. They're watching. They're seeing the world respond with violence and silence, but you're different. You respond. You don't cower away, but you also don't let them control you and respond in violence. Why do you act like that? It's a potential opportunity to witness and to share about these two truths, that God is a just judge. He's good and powerful. And we see that in Jesus. The world is watching how you and I respond to insult, injury. They're watching how we respond to being wronged. Maybe for those tuning in, you feel like the wrong that has happened to you runs so deep that you don't have words. Maybe some of you tuning in, you feel as though this is an area that's really, really tough to trust God with. It's really hard to believe God is good when wrongs happen. Maybe for some of you, it's hard for you to see yourself a part of God's story and how God uses the hard things, the sufferings, to not only shape us, but to show the world something different. I want to pray for you, for those that have tuned in and you feel like this is just way beyond you. Maybe you've evaluated in these few moments and you say, I don't trust God's goodness will overcome man's badness because I've experienced pretty deep badness. I get that. I know God does too. Wherever you're at, would you pray with me? Let's pray. Because I know that you probably feel trapped by only having to respond with silence or violence. But God really does want to give you a new way, a greater way. And he wants to form that in you by building your trust in him, a just judge who truly is able to overcome men's badness with his goodness because he's just that good. That's his will for you and I. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everyone who's tuned in. I thank you, God, that you love them and that you see them. God, for some of us, God, we feel so trapped because it feels like all we have to defend ourselves and we don't feel like anyone's taking care of us, God. We feel like we have to self-preserve and we either got to get violent or silent, God. We either have to retreat, just take it, or we have to respond back with violence. But God, you're showing us a different way in Jesus. You're wanting to produce in us gentleness. You're wanting us to be the kind of people that really believe that your goodness will overcome man's badness. Help us, I pray, God, to see that for our own lives and for the lives of others. Help us, God, first to be convinced of that in our own life. And help us, God, then to see others in that same way. Free us up, God, to be the kind of people that would respond to insult and injury the way Jesus did. Come on, for those that are tuning in, I want to challenge you right now. Would you just pray this difficult prayer with me? Would you just even pray for those that have insulted you and wronged you by forgiving them first? God, we forgive those who have wronged us and insulted us. We don't want to get back. God, we want to get right. And we believe that you're the one to do that. You're the just judge. Lord, we ask that you would have your way in them. We pray for those, God, that have wronged us. And we pray that, God, you would turn our foes into friends as you did in my life. Give us the strength, God, we ask, to do so. Transform us, Jesus, into people who are gentle. And God, I pray that you would help us to be faithful, that when people insult us and injure us, we would talk to you first about it, first and foremost. Because God, we want to be your witnesses. We want to show the world a different way to respond. God, we want to honor you. We want to honor you, and we want to look more like Jesus. That's why we're asking this. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. Next week, we're going to be ending our Jesus series. Pastor Philip is going to be sharing on self-control. You don't want to miss it. We can't wait to see you next week.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.